The Web That Has No Weaver, Understanding Chinese Medicine, page 93. Yang organs, Volume 2. The main function of the yang organs is to receive food, absorb the usable portions, and transmit and excrete waste. The yang organs are less directly involved with the fundamental textures than are the yin organs and are generally described less psychologically. They are also considered more exterior than yin organs. The word exterior has more to do with the ultimate life significance of an organ than with its physical location. Thus, the important yin organs are thought to be more interior than the less important yang organs. Each yang organ is coupled with the yin organ in what is called an interior-exterior relationship. Table 1. Coupled yin and yang organs. Spleen is yin organ and stomach is yang organ. Liver is yin. Gallbladder is yang. Kidneys are yin organ. Bladder is yang organ. Heart is yin. Small intestine is yang. Lungs are yin. Large intestine is yang. Pericardium is yin, triple burner is yang. This means that their qis interpenetrate and can mutually resonate, and that the meridian pathways are connected. Sometimes this connection has clinical significance, and at other times it mainly completes a hypothetical symmetry. Stomach. Away. The stomach is responsible for receiving and ripening ingested food and fluids. It is therefore called the sea of food and fluid. Food begins its decomposition in the stomach. The pure part is then sent to the spleen, which transforms it into the raw material for qi and blood. The turbid part is sent to the small intestine for further digestion. The stomach and spleen activities are closely related. While the spleen rules ascending, the stomach rules descending. That is, it makes things move downward. Thus, the directions of their qi activity complement each other. If the stomach's receiving and descending functions are impaired, symptoms such as nausea, stomachache, distension, belching, or vomiting may ensue. Gallbladder or dan. The gallbladder stores and secretes bile. Bile is a bitter yellow fluid continuously produced by the surplus blood and qi of the liver. The gallbladder sends bile downward, where it pours into the intestines and aids the digestive process. The liver that produces bile and the gallbladder that secretes it are very dependent on each other. Any disruption of the liver's flowing and separating activity will affect the gallbladder's bile secretion. Disharmonies of the gallbladder will affect the liver, possibly resulting in such symptoms as vomiting bitter fluid. The Neijing says that the gallbladder rules courage and decisiveness. Behavior characterized by anger and rash decisions may be due to an excess of gallbladder qi. Timidity and fear of particular places and things, such as a dark room or bugs, may be a sign of gallbladder disharmony and weakness. Bladder, a panguang. The function of the bladder is to receive and excrete the urine. The urine is produced in the kidneys out of the final portion of the turbid fluids transmitted from the lungs, small intestine, and large intestine. Disharmonies of the bladder may lead to urinary problems such as incontinence, burning urination, or difficulty in urinating. The coupling of the bladder and the kidneys reflects a clinical importance based on their complementary functions. Small intestine, or Xiao Chang. The small intestine rules the separation of the pure from the turbid. It receives what the stomach has not completely decomposed and continues the process of separation and absorption. The clear part is extracted by the small intestine and sent to the spleen, and the turbid part continues downward to the large intestine. Some impure ingested fluids is also sent directly to the kidneys and bladder. Disharmonies involving the small intestine may produce abdominal pain, intestinal rumblings, diarrhea, or constipation. Large intestine, dachan. The large intestine continues to move the turbid parts of the food and fluids downward, while at the same time absorbing water from this waste material. At the end of this process, the feces are formed and eliminated under the control of the large intestine. If the large intestine loses its harmony, abdominal pain, intestinal rumblings, diarrhea, or constipation may result. Triple Varna. The Chinese word for this organ can be translated as triple varna, triple warmer, or triple hot heater. Literally, it means three that burns, or three that scorch. The triple varna is the sixth yang organ, although its exact organ nature is not clear from the classical text. Ambiguity and dispute surround this organ. The majority of Chinese physicians agree that the triple varna has a name but no shape. It may best be understood as a functional relationship between various organs that regulate water. These are mainly the lungs, spleen, and kidneys, but they also include the small intestine and the bladder. The triple varna does not exist as an entity outside of these other organs, but rather it is a pathway that makes these organs a complete system. In Chinese medical thought, fire is necessary to control water. The name triple varna implies fire, and the Neijing emphasizes the triple varna's control of the body's water. In the Neijing, the triple varna is called the official of the bursting water dam, and is referred to as where the water channel arises. The Neijing implies, so tradition has it, that those aspects of the spleen, kidney, stomach, large intestine, small intestine, and bladder that are involved in water movement are all regulated by the qi of the triple burner. The Neijing says further that the upper burner is a mist. A mist is pervasive, and traditionally this would correspond to the vaporized water in the lungs that is later disseminated throughout the body. The middle burner is a foam. This is traditionally interpreted as referring to the digestive churnings of the stomach and spleen. The lower burna is a swamp. It is in charge of excreting impure substances. The reference here is primarily to the kidneys, large and small intestines, and the bladder. There is also general agreement on another definition of the triple burna. This concept considers the triple varna a demarcation of the three areas of the body. The upper varna is the head and chest, including the heart and lungs. The middle varna is the area below the chest but above the navel, and includes the spleen and stomach. The lower varna corresponds to the abdominal area below the navel and especially encompasses the liver and kidney. The location of the liver is related to its meridian pathway in the lower groin. The organs of the body, defined as they are by their psychophysiological functions and relationships, are another part of the human web. They cannot be discussed out of context. The Chinese notions about organs, or about anything else, are not meant to be hard pieces of a theory that can be proved or disproved. They are part of an organizing network to be used when convenient. The Chinese would be indifferent to proof in our accustomed scientific sense. In the Song Dynasty, Introduction to the Systematic Classic of Acupuncture, the imperial medical scholars are explicitly aware that the meridians and much of the rest of the system are not to be found when one dissects and physically investigates. They are not troubled. They say it does not matter. The verification is the classics, the wisdom of the ancients, and the fact that is an important conceptual tool and resources. In the West, since the scientific revolution, a theory must rest on a provable physical substratum of repeatable events and measurable facts. Each fact holds up the next level. William Harvey helped usher in this scientific revolution when, on April 17, 1616, in a public lecture, he overthrew the classic Greek notion of blood movement and replaced it with the modern concept of circulation. The entire Greek medical edifice began to crumble. Early speculations and imaginative constructs were found to be insufficient. Hard and substantial facts were to be the basis of the new knowledge. Qualities had to be reduced to quantities, images to lines, speculation to experimentation. The Chinese theory, however, resembled those of Greek antiquity. This type of fact is a speculative interpretation. For the Chinese, it is a sensory image, a poetic exploration of what is going on. The value of the Chinese theories is in aiding the organization of observation, discerning patterns, capturing interconnectedness and qualities of a being. Can one prove a poetic image? It can be shared. It can be used. One can decide if it is worth listening to.